Well, hello again. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we're back in the MTP Software Studios, the leader in sports CRM. And my name is Jeffrey Davis, host of Radio Entrepreneurs and chairman of the board, CEO of Mage LLC. And playing Marcel Marceau to my right is the one and only Walter Sullivan. No talking. It's Walter. You remember? It's Marcel Marceau.
Oh, I'm not allowed to talk. Okay.
It's like being at home.
But I can take a couple of hits, though, right?
Yeah, it's like being at home.
All right.
No talking, but you take hits.
Getting high now already. In the weed show then, huh?
That's what it's in the weeds because Walter's here. He only shows up for the in the weeds segment. That means we're talking cannabis. And we're going to be speaking with, let's see if I get it right, Aaron Gouveia.
Perfect.
Oh, perfect. Vice President at the Belfort Group. And we're going to talk about why storytelling is key to securing local permits and community support, something I know Walter is always interested in.
I'm always interested in community support and a good story.
Good stories.
And Doritos.
So tell us.
Well, I have a journalism background. And
another one? You must know Don Martelli.
Unfortunately, my COO. But yeah, I mean, I think you'll find a lot of people in our business come from a journalism background because at its essence, that's storytelling. And, you know, when these cannabis entrepreneurs come in and they want to locate in these towns, this is a new story. It's, it's new to a lot of people. It's scary to a lot of people, especially, you know, a lot of older people who have been told that marijuana is bad, you know, reefer madness, the whole thing. So really cannabis needs some storytelling because that's not at all the case. It's, you know, it's not a gateway drug. It's not this evil, you know, presence that's going to destroy everybody. And I think the last year in Massachusetts has really shown that with more than 24 dispensaries open in communities across the state, the sky hasn't fallen. You know, the society hasn't crumbled. But I tell you what, that revenue has definitely helped fix some crumbling infrastructure.
That's interesting because I think everybody, and I mean everybody, has a story in their head of what they think cannabis is.
Oh, absolutely.
So what you're trying to do is hopefully accurately reframe that story into a proper story.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we do that in a lot of ways, you know, whether it's traditional media relations or social media, we have to reach people where they live. And a lot of times, for better or worse, and you know, you definitely make an argument that it's worse, a lot of people get their information from these Facebook groups that they're in. Each town has one of these Facebook groups, you know, and that's where people congregate. And so we try to get in there. We you know, look who's supportive. We try and, you know, get those people on our side and create kind of a, we invite them to be kind of a project advisory committee of sorts. And we start giving them our talking points and we start informing them about what's going on. And what happens is we filter all that information through residents. So now instead of the developer, you know, saying something, now it's coming from residents and that holds a lot more weight.
And that's a really good point. I've been in a town where that actually, where that Facebook page people don't think about, but that becomes the town's main page and people coming into that now create the story.
Absolutely.
And that causes a problem for some of these members looking to get into business there.
You know, I like the old 80-20 rule. So using the 80-20 rule, what's the 80% of the story that you need to tell usually over and over again?
So for most of the time, the 80-20, we're focused on, you know, revenue and jobs. That's what drives a lot of this. And it's true, you know, with these cannabis companies having to, you know, agree to these host community agreements, it's usually 3% of gross income, not net, gross. That's on top of property taxes, excise taxes, and any charitable donations that, you know, they make to the community. So we're talking hundreds of thousands, if not, you know, sometimes $1 million a year, depending on the size of, you know, the dispensary.
And I think that's important for towns to know. Lee, Massachusetts got their first check this quarter of $500,000.
Yeah.
And that's just 3% of gross sales, never mind 3% on
Walter, did you get something off the top on that one?
I wish I did. But I mean, this is money, and that's the story you need to tell because people care about that.
Yeah. I mean, we're working in communities. You know, Bourne, for instance, has a town meeting vote coming up. They have a general bylaw that prohibits marijuana, adult use marijuana in town. We're trying to reverse that. But right next door in Wareham, you know, since December of 2018, one shop is open and the town has collected $722,000 in revenue. That's a big chunk of change the towns can use for hiring teachers, hiring public officials, you know, law enforcement officials, or fixing infrastructure, building things. It's huge.
And that doesn't count job creation. It doesn't count real estate tax increase, excise tax increase.
Yeah.
Stores.
Well, how they use the money is really up to the town.
But sure.
The town gets the money, and then they get the, you know, the opportunity to use it as they feel that it's a priority.
Yeah. So, and that's the message we send. Look, this is a job creator. This is a revenue creator, and it's a great opportunity for the town to reinvest.
You know,
I don't know
if they've done the studies yet or they're in the process, but I'd be wondering, revenue from marijuana versus revenue from gambling, which one is more beneficial for the town? And my guess would be the marijuana is a little bit safer.
I do both.
I thought you didn't do cannabis.
I don't do cannabis, but I work for both.
Oh, you work for both.
I don't gamble either.
Do you have an opinion, though, or are you holding it off because the mic's on?
If the town of Plainville built a $40 million new town center, police station, and fire station based on revenues from
Plainridge.
Wow.
I mean, that's when you're dealing with cannabis, the issue here comes out to be is that you can't increase the residential tax. You really can't work on your commercial base. This is a brand new revenue and a big revenue supply for.
But I bet you cannabis smokers have more money in their pocket at the end of the month than gamblers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
very much so.
I have no hard data on that, but it's a good bet.
The house is set up to win, not lose.
Well, exactly. So you know, it's all quite interesting. Aaron, why don't you give us a sense of, again, it's probably similar to your associate, Don, your background and how you got to, you know, writing in this particular area.
Yeah, sure. Like my COO, Don, I came from a journalism background. So I worked for the Cape Cod Times, Milford Daily News, Metro West Daily News, had some things in the Herald, really honed my skills there. 2011, I jumped to what eventually became IBM, working as a content manager for a little website called salary.com. So put together newsletters, learned what people like, how to communicate digitally. And then 4 years ago, jumped over to PR and never looked back. Now I'm vice president at the Belfort Group.
How'd you get into cannabis?
Well, I mean, the public affairs practice at Belfort Group has been around for, you know, more than two decades. We help developers all the time. So let's say someone wants to bring in a mixed-use development that's anchored by 300 apartment units, like they're doing down at the Hanover Mall. That's one of our clients, PrEP.
Benefit to Hanover.
Yeah, very good benefit to Hanover. But they love the retail. They had residents had a slightly harder time with the apartment units. And we messaged that. Because really these days, mixed use is the way to go. And the retail and the residential, they support each other. And that's really important. So we put the same logic there to cannabis.
Well, I think it's important to hire someone like you because people don't know how to tell their story or the importance to tell. And that makes a big difference on making a breaking if you're going to survive.
And Walter would know. A lot of things he doesn't know, but that he doesn't know.
I agree. You're absolutely right because it's everyone is in love with their own story, but can't always tell it well, and we do that job for them, and it's vital.
So, Aaron, someone was looking for you to help them refine their story, turn it to a positive, help communicate. How would they find you at the Belfort Group?
Yeah, the best way is just www.thebelfortgroup.com, and all our contact information and case studies are on there. So,
right. And how would we find Walter Sullivan if someone ever wanted you?
WSullivan@waltersullivanlaw.com is my email address, and that's my website as well.
Wow.
Without the W. Sullivan.
His own law firm. What a guy.
And I owe it all to Jeffrey.
Yeah, right.
Who told me to move forward.
No. His wife told him to get a job. My name is Jeffrey Davis.
His wife
Davis.
Should tell him to get a job. No.
My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. More to come.